A question which most people have a difficulty to answer. And it's, is the end of the world near? That was not a statement, that was a question, correct? Go to Matthew chapter 28 with me. We're going to look this morning at quite a few scripture verses. I haven't made up my mind if I shall give you the bad news first or the good news, but as we go along, we'll find out. So Matthew chapter 28, we begin reading in verse 18. For those of you maybe not all familiar with, just open your Bible this morning. I don't mind if you take a pencil or a highlighter and write into your Bible, as a matter of fact. That's probably one of the best things you can do for your brain to remember those things. So the book is not holy, but the content is. Are we going for the content, correct? So here is Jesus. The last few words he spoke. Last Sunday we looked at the words he spoke according to another gospel writer. This morning we're going to look at Matthew. And there Jesus came and said these things to them. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I want you to underline that, because when we are in tough spots in this life, we sometimes forget, or sometimes not just forget but believe a lie, that somehow someone else in this world has authority above Jesus. Let me make that clear. Jesus said, all authority, there's not much left for anybody else, unless he gives it to them. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And because that's the truth, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And listen to this, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, and here we go, to the end of the age. When we look at the world today, we think the end of the world has come. And obviously, this kind of thinking is actually not biblically, it's actually Hollywood thinking. So I want to get that out of you. I have good news for you. I give it to you right there so we can go in and give you afterwards a bad one. The good news is, this world which you and I are living in is never going to be destroyed. Let me say it again. This world we are living in is never going to be destroyed. I know it's going to take some of you by surprise. You go, what in the world is he saying? Aren't you glad we are sinners and God had never intended to destroy us, but to redeem us, to restore us into his relationship? That's God's business. God's business is restoration, not destruction. There is another ruler in the spiritual realm who's challenging God, and he is only for destruction. If you don't believe it, look around where you're living. Look in the news. It's all destruction. When people are going to tell me that you can go behind the pulpit and you can say, let's say, BLM is a good movement. No, it's a Marxist destructive movement all around the world. If you are going to preach and say we should reach out to these people to help them, no, you only reach out to show them the truth. Jesus Christ died for you, no matter what a scoundrel you are, no matter what a destructive force you are. You are not beyond the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not beyond the grace of God. This is what we need to preach. This morning, we were sitting or standing here in the worship team, and my son starts singing a song, which is not a part of this morning's worship. And whenever he does that, you know he has a message. Jesus loves the little children. And then what does it say after? Did you know? Yeah. Okay, keep on going. You just were a white supremacist. See, you fell right into it. You are not going to be able to say anymore black and white and yellow and green or whatever, because these are not colors accepted. But how many of you know Jesus loves all the little children? Amen. Colors do not matter. And so we need to understand that I'm going to preach only about 25% of what is being preached from the pulpit. 75% plus from the pulpit in America today is another gospel coming. And it's a sad statement. And because we see that, we believe that the world is closely coming to an end, because Jesus said, when you see these things happening, or Paul said, when these great falling away from the faith, you have to observe the signs that's going with it. Then you can tell that the end of this age has come. Not the end of the world, the end of this age. This present age, which you and I are living in, will come to an end. It's the church age. It's the age of grace. It's the age the church is committed to one thing only, and that's to preach the gospel to every nation, every tribe, every skin color. Does not matter. The gospel is the same. There's no such thing as a black gospel. There's no such thing as a white gospel. There's only one gospel and one Lord. And that's it. And so the age we are in, where we can preach the gospel, that age is coming to a close. So when you and I look today at the world and we see that things are going really out of hands in a lot of areas, you always have to remind yourselves, while we watch these things, put a little bit more effort in sharing the gospel with the people. Put a little bit more effort in, not for survivalism, but for spiritual power, which we need in order to stand and say, I know why I stand where I stand, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that neighbor which you have the opportunity to witness today may be here tomorrow no more. You may not be here tomorrow. We have no guarantee of that. We may go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us, when we do that, this age has come to a close. But there's a new age coming. And I'm not talking about new ages. I'm talking about a new age which Jesus Christ has proclaimed throughout his entire ministry that's going to come. So a new age will begin. The question is, when? The answer is, I don't know. So this preacher says actually he doesn't know everything. Yep. So the other thing, I don't know. I tried to figure you guys out. That's an impossibility. So, yeah, I admit right there, I don't know everything. Well, there's a lot of things going on in this world I don't know. But there is a ruler in this world which has, since the Garden of Eden incident, tried to stop that promised new age and to replace it with another new age, which Satan, Lucifer, is proclaiming. And that's that new age that is filled with spirituality, which I'm going to teach Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, if you want to know how that goes and where it goes with this. You've got to be here. We turn the TV off, so you have to come. No. When we see these things happening, my friend, we know that Satan knows the time is short, and he will do anything he can to implement that new age. And believe me, listen to what I tell you, he is not a friend of yours. He has only one thing in mind, total destruction. This is why you know that Hollywood is totally infiltrated by satanic demonic powers. They have produced one movie after the other with words they don't understand. The Great Apocalypse. And people go, everything is going to blow up. No, apocalypse is a Greek word and it means the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Next time somebody tells you this thing is going to come to an end, you say, no, Jesus comes back. That's a given. But my question, I want to ask a personal question. Is he coming back for you? Or are you not a part of it? That will be the question. He will come back. And Hollywood can produce whatever they want to produce and shut down whatever they want to shut down. You cannot delay or, by the way, speed up Christ's return. That time is only in the Father's authority. These are Jesus' own words. And he will come back. Now, I would like to share with you this morning what Satan has planned. You say, I'm not interested. Oh, yes, you're going to be interested once it hits you. Satan has plans too. And he's moving and shaping this world right now and makes the whole population going to worship him. He is such a creature who loves to be worshipped. So I give you a few of those quotes which Satan is in charge of. You have heard most of them by name, but probably don't know all the details of it. I don't know all the details, but I know quite a few. So, we have heard over the last, 14 months now, people squawking on every microphone, every TV camera they can stand before, saying, you got to obey. What we say, follow. Oh, by the way, follow the science. Forgot to tell you that. Just follow science. Or sometimes we say, follow your family, or follow your friends, or follow our national leaders, or follow. Listen, we as Christians, we follow nobody but Jesus Christ. There are good people and there are bad people, and we don't always know the difference. So it's much better to follow Jesus. We make a commitment to him. Here's one of the things Satan has prepared for us. We have heard about the propaganda. Must achieve the sustainable management and efficient use of natural resources by 2030. That's 9 years from now. The thing is, this is not a new saying. This is around since the 50s, last century. You say, well, that does not apply to me. You know, I don't care about sustainable management. By the way, our president uses these words lately a lot. So never tell me he is inspired by God. Oh yeah, he's inspired, but it's the God of this world. We need to be aware of that. You say, well, you know, we just charter our own course. Well, how well did you do over the last 14 months with that pandemic? Listen, the pandemic was not the problem. The lockdown was the problem. And that goes, right, at the expense of us. And all the ones who have made profit are the ruling elites who are in the pockets. They're having in the pockets the politicians. And we pay dearly for it. Patrick Wood published a book called Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. Well, the book itself speaks a lot of negative stuff about what's coming. I'm more interested in what Jesus has prepared, but I want to tell you anyway what they plan. It's always good to know what the enemy's up to, correct? Right. Let's say if you will go to the Walmart shopping, and I just swore publicly, should never use that word, but anyway, yeah. Need a shopping, and the shopping is not in it, the other one. I'm not going to mention it again. But when you go, and you go onto a parking lot, I tell my wife when we go somewhere, I always say, watch the people. Just watch the people. 99% of every person you watch is totally oblivious what's going on around them. Totally oblivious. And I would say 90% of all incidents and attacks could be avoided if they would have their eyes opened. And look what's going on. The world has trained us to be totally oblivious to anything around us. And the world leaders, under the rulership of Satan, loves us to be blind to what he's doing. So I'm glad you came this morning. So here's what he said. Oh, by the way, this is a good book I've seen. And look at this. Can you read it there? R.I.P., rest in peace. Here lies the human race who refused to recognize the end when it stared them in the face. And obviously you can see the little, the one-eyed, three-eyed little creature, man-made creature, having us by the throat. And I think we're looking pretty skinny right there at that time. So something happened in the meantime, I don't know. So here is, let's go to Wood's book. He said, someone is bound to rebut the thought that the UN will manage all global resources. Such a person is missing the strategy from the UN. Let's say you own a property in the city or county that has adopted the UN's program of Agenda 21, smart growth, green economy, etc. Have you heard lately green economy? You will soon find yourself ensnared in a web of green regulations demanding that you manage your property according to the rules and guidelines. If you refuse, you will be fined, taxed, denied, or the rights, and generally oppressed until you knuckle under and obey. Let's go on. There's a little bit more to that. While your name may be on the property title, your rights have been stripped and you have been forced to bow to UN prescribed management practices. The point is, ownership and control of property are separate items. Keep that in mind. I'm saying that because how many of you have gotten stimulus money? Come on. All your hands should go up twice. Okay. So don't be ashamed. It's your taxpayers' money. You're a taxpayer, correct? They just finally gave you a refund. I never got a refund before from the IRS. I got one now. They say, oh, they give you a refund after you filed. No, they already took it before, worked with it, and then they give us some back. Oh, so nice. It's like the thief, the road, takes $100 from you and said, hey, I really like you, gives you $20 back. He says, I got a refund today. No, he stole the other 80. What that means is, my friend, over the last 50 years, the United States government has substituted farming with the ultimate purpose to control what they can and cannot do. It was always the UN plan. What if they say 50% of your acres that can be planted on will not be planted because we need habitat? Not for humanity, for animals. Because the book of Revelation tells us, before Jesus comes back, the wild beasts are in full action all around the world. Because we give them the space. Some people tell me in Iowa that 50 years ago they had hardly any deers around. Now you have to go zigzag down the road on Highway 17 not to hit them. You know? So just keep your eyes open. There is a plan behind you. You say, oh, there's nothing bad about that. Well, the current ruler of this world does not hesitate to warn us to the leaders of this world that if we don't obey their new agenda, the world will run out of resources. You are going to go hungry. And we should get rid of the cows. Oh, by the way, they fart, and that's global warming, correct? I have never heard a dumber statement than that. That anyone who has a little brain left can even believe that. These people are Martians for sure. There's no other explanation to that. I do understand people have grown up in the city, never seen an animal bigger than maybe a half a foot. And these are called rats. You know, just in case you don't know, they got them by the millions and billions. I don't mean demo cats. I mean furry creatures, okay? So I could see on your smirk. No, that's not what I said. So. We are facing right now a worldwide coordinated control of people, economy, and an attack on the urban centers of the world. And you wonder why. Where there is what the UN scholars say, a troika, that's a trüstreik. Troika is actually, it's interesting that they use that word troika because it's Russian and was used to push socialistic, communistic agendas. And they use that now. So they obviously tell us, for those people who understand, remember, if you understand language, you understand what they're saying. If you don't understand language, you don't know what they're saying. So when you hear Russian names, then you have to go and look it up. What does that mean? What do they want to communicate? They want to communicate that the UN has publicly announced that they're going to use socialistic methods to introduce communistic methods. It's right there. And if you have never gone there or never seen how this works, I've been in those countries. It's not good. It's not good. So the UN calls it the UN's planetary troika. And here is the plan. I give you a few things. Let's put it up there just so we get all the bad stuff out of the way. So here's a little thing. Okay. They have 3 points. This is a troika. The UN Sustainable Development Summit was held in New York on September 25th, 27, 2015, that produced the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. I'm putting it up with all the details because a lot of people maybe have heard 2030 Agenda, but don't know that behind it is a sustainable development, which our government right now pushes very, very hard. And by the way, breaking down the borders is one of those things why we do it. Then the UN Climate Change Conference held in Paris, November 30th to December 12th, 2015, that produced the Paris Agreement on Climate Change. Let me stop right there quickly for a second just to tell you something that is very important. On this one. When you do this, this was done when President Barack Obama was in office. They called that a Paris agreement of climate change. It was not a treaty. This is how language works. When you do a treaty, international treaty, in the United States of America, we have a law, a treaty, any treaty with any other foreign government or any government for that matter, needs to be ratified by the Congress and the Senate. Well, they knew that they can never get it. So they call it an agreement, and Obama could make an executive order. This is why President Trump nullified the executive order. And why our current president said, oh, we install it right away. Because if this is not in place, you cannot push the agenda. And then the other one is Habitat 3, held in Quito, Ecuador, on October 17 to the 20th, 2016. That produced the new urban agenda. That's what we're seeing right now with BLM and Antifa doing their dirty work for them. And we haven't seen much yet of it. So this is how Satan works. He's working through these organizations and get these things going. What does it all mean? Let me quickly give you their own words. If you consider these three major UN events as a whole, a clear picture emerges. Here it is. The 2030 Agenda sets the overall goals and framework for sustainable development. The Paris Agreement provides the rationale for achieving the goal. See, each one has its own point. And the new Urban Agenda provides the action plan and specifics to implement it in every community on Earth. So, on which point are we now? The last one. We're now on the last one, and that's the plan and specifics to implement it in every community on Earth. And that is quite a task, okay? So let's quickly read what the Sustainable Development Platform, which you, by the way, you can look up on www.un.org, and all these things is open source. Here's what they say. We recognize that social and economic development depends on the sustainable management of our planet's natural resources. For every Christian, that should go, ah. All things were created by God, through God, and through Jesus Christ, it holds together. This is an anti-biblical statement. All things belonging to Him and all things is sustained by Him. The UN says, oh, no, 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 no. We are therefore determined to conserve and sustainably use oceans, seas, freshwater resources, as well as forests, mountains, and drylands, and to protect biodiversity, ecosystems, and wildlife. Look at that quickly. What's left of the surface of the planet? Nothing. What they say is everything that's on the surface belongs to us. And we are the best organization to manage that according to our ideas. So that's kind of sustainable development. What about the Paris Agreement? That thing is 12 pages long, has 29 articles, and I'll just give you two of them quickly to see. And this is exactly what you're watching. See, this is giving you answers what you actually observe today. Okay? And the 12-page Paris Agreement says, we redirect financial funding away from dirty fossil fuels and towards clean forms of development. This is the announcement Joe Biden just made. And this is why all these big corporations are supporting BLM, because otherwise the big banks do not finance anything anymore for them. That's how that works. Straight out of the UN Paris Agreement. Ensure that all actions align with Paris and the Sustainable Development Goals of the 2030 Agenda. Finances of the banks for corporations will only be available if you agree with the 2030 Agenda goals. If not, you will not get financed any longer. Well, all these little businesses we have in the United States, over 200,000 went in, and about another 500,000 are waiting to close the doors. They're just being kind of kept alive by PPP. And they are not the ones who are going to go for this, so let's get them out of there. So, what about the urban agenda? Habitat 3, that's a very interesting one. Urban spatial planning, you're going to hear that more and more. Spatial planning. This term means urban planning by especially focusing on land use, transport, and environmental planning. In particular, it focuses on influencing or manipulating the distribution of people within the community. The European Regional Spatial Planning Charter states, I quote here, regional spatial planning gives geographical expression to the economic, social, cultural, and ecological policies of society. This is good political talk. What that means, take down the borders, let the people come in, we decide where they're coming from and which they influence. Or like our government says, we let the people come in over the border and we decide where we're going to transport them. Oh, by the way, without COVID-19 testing, they only want to test me, I would like to test them. Would be fair trade, wouldn't it? So these are very important things to understand. So this is what's in that new urban agenda. Let's go to the next one. Geospatial information systems. Stationary features of traditional geography are insufficient for urban spatial planning. Wow. People and vehicle move about, and so their geography is changed from minute to minute. This is called G5. Geospatial information system track the movements of people and things, and to the extent possible, the identity of the things being tracked. This is the main driver for the massive use of sensors in smart cities that track everything in real time, including people. Ooh, okay. What do you think? You like it? Okay, this is why we have to take the inner cities down, burn them down, so we can build something new called smart cities, where you can track everything. Let's go quickly to science. That word science and technology is everywhere, isn't it? The UN uses an acronym called STI, which stands for Science, Technology and Innovation. And it is actually the only hope that sustainable development will ever work. That's from the book. So this is why the effort is done. Let's go and show quickly how that works out. In paragraph 159, we read, we will support the role and enhance capacity of national, subnational, and local governments in data collection, mapping, analysis, and dissemination, and in promoting evidence-based governance, building on a shared knowledge base using both globally comparable as well as locally generated data, including through censuses, household surveys, population registers, community-based monitoring processes, and other relevant sources disaggregated by income, sex, age, race, ethnicity, migration status, disability, geographic location, and other characteristics relevant in national, subnational, and local context. And boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? So let me explain to you just quickly. This is all going against the gospel. It's all going against God's a rulership on this earth. This is Satan's implementation. And this is why it's so important we as Christians need to know. So all the things they want to have more information, you're going to see more and more, even in our areas, where little government, local governments want to have a lot more information. We just checked quickly our county, and now they have these things. If you want to replace windows, you should let them know that you replaced windows. What? You need to go and look it up. You're not up to par, my friend. That doesn't mean that I'm going to call them if I change my bathroom window, you know? Take it out and they can smell. Leave it open, correct? It's ridiculous. This is what they're going to do. This is all trying to get still support from the higher ups. And if you don't implement these things, you just don't get all these grants. So this is all going back to science and technology. And let me summarize it for you without scaring you. So this is all the bad news. Let me give you good news. This is Satan's plan. Aren't you glad Jesus has a plan? I want to ask a very, very simple question. Who do you think has the better plan? This is bad news, isn't it? This is a very bad plan. But there's nothing new. You remember in Genesis chapter 11? There was a Tower of Babel incident, right? And people said, we do not want to serve that God any longer. We want to serve someone else. And so we're going to make a name. Well, the English translation said, for ourselves. But we're going to look at the real Hebrew, and we're going to find out there's a little bit more to that. God watches all these things, and in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, I wrote it up for you to see. He said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. We have our own little thing. So here's obviously my good friend Michael Heiser, which I quote quite often because he's such a good linguistic scholar of biblical texts and ancient literature. He said, the Tower of Babel is regarded by all scholars as one of Mesopotamia's famous man-made sacred mountains, a ziggurat. Ziggurats were divine abodes, places where Mesopotamians believed heaven and earth intersected. The nature of this structure makes evident the purpose of the building, to bring the divine down to earth. He goes on to say, the biblical writer wastes no time in linking this act to the early divine transgression of Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. That passage sought to portray the giant quasi-divine Babylonian culture heroes who survived the flood as man of renown, or more literally, man of the name. Man of the name, the Hebrew word is Shem. Those who built the Tower of Babel wanted to do so, make a new Shem for themselves. In other words, a man of renown. The building of the Tower of Babel meant perpetuating Babylonian religious knowledge and substituting the rule of Babel's gods for rule by Yahweh. Quickly forward, 21st century, United States of America, 2019. What was traveling to the United States of America? The Arch of Baal. The Ark of Baal. A 3D replica. Have you ever read in the Bible about a god by the name of Baal, B-A-A-L? Well, when he came to Washington, D.C., our leaders went to worship there. Look it up. Now you know that battle between this kind of god, quote unquote, against true genuine Christianity. Listen, if this world can't stand one group of people, it is those who represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We are enemy number one. Do you know? It is only the church that stands between Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. When the church is not standing up, evil will pursue its goal. The only power in this world that can bring light into any bad situation is the Church of Jesus Christ. This is one of the reasons why Satan infiltrated so many churches to do the world's business rather than God's business. This is the whole reason why I gave you all this information, what they're planning, and we cannot be a part of it because we have to stand against it. How can you stand against something which you don't know? You just think it's, well, it's maybe nefarious, maybe not. It may be bad, it may be not. Let me show you. Go into your Bible. You have to read them for yourselves. And go to Isaiah. Chapter 6. It was not a part of my sermon, but I may want to give you something here. This is Isaiah in chapter 6, who is writing that in the year of Uzziah, the Lord was sitting upon a throne. He saw a vision of heaven. And he heard the people say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And he said, "I've seen the fountains of the threshold shaking." It was so much power. And then he said, obviously, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And for many eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory." He said, it was unbelievable. He saw other spiritual creatures by the name of seraphim. And he said, you know, then eventually he heard a voice in verse 8. "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then obviously Isaiah answered and said, "Here I am, send me." And listen to what God said to Isaiah. "Go and say to these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." You would say, God, why did you do that? Do you know when that question is being answered? Matthew chapter 13. Let's quickly go to the New Testament. Let's look at Matthew 13. Now you know why I preach about the kingdom. The disciples heard Jesus speaking about the parable of the sowers to everybody, including religious leaders who always wanted to trap Jesus. Then the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, listen to this, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of what? Of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in the case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled." What he said. And then he said exactly what we're just reading in Isaiah. "But blessed are your eyes," in verse 16, "for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now, if you would like to know what God wanted them to see and to hear, read on at home this afternoon in Isaiah. And read 6, finish, chapter 6. Then go to chapter 7, it's an insertion. Then go to chapter 8. Then you come to chapter 9. That's the most glorious chapter right there, connection to that. How God has our eyes opened. And see, these people, they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to see what's going on. They could not recognize that the Messiah was here. They didn't care about any news. They were not able to discern. And Jesus said they didn't even get anything more. The world today is in pretty much the same shape. People don't know. I don't want to hear. Pastor, just give me good news. I came here just to feel good. No, you came here to know truth. You came here to get to know what's going on in the world and then being able to lay this against the truth and see which is holding up. And then you make a decision, do I want to follow Satan, the ruler of this world with all that garbage, or do I want to follow Jesus Christ? And that's going to determine if you understand what's going on in the kingdom of God. And obviously you and I will know, my friend, our religious affiliation is not going to open up our eyes. As a matter of fact, it doesn't matter how spiritual we are. It will not open up our eyes. The only thing that will open our eyes is when you and I become born again. You may not like it, but that's what the Bible says. We must be born again. Born of the Spirit, because the Spirit is the teacher of the truth, and the truth is the only thing you and I can discern if we have the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand what's going on. We don't understand and discern the times. We have no idea what's going on around. We just get fearful. Listen, the churches are filled with people who have fear all day long because somebody is not opening their eyes. And that's a sad statement to say. We should be the most bold people standing up, knowing what's going on, understanding the season, understanding the times, and then say, we are not going for this. I want to ride the dead horse of COVID-19. It's dead. They probably tried to resurrect it, but it's dead. Go on with life, my friends. Go do something. Something good, I mean. Jesus said, those who have little understanding, even what they have will be taken away from them. Not by Jesus. Satan will come and snap it away from you. How does he do it? How many of you have friends who just, they don't believe like you do? Then you want to share with them. And then they have these big sauces on their forehead, you know, thinking, you are out of this world. And you say, you got that right. It's the only thing you got right. No. They just don't get it. It is so much easier to believe a lie than to believe the truth. It is so much easier to be driven by fear than to be driven by joy. Listen, fearful people have no joy. This is why the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord, oh, you know. And how many of you will need a little bit more strength? That is only coming in the Lord. For that, you need to be born again. And if you're not born again, you cannot see what's going on. Oh, yeah, you may be a YouTube sensation telling that the world comes to an end and a million downloads. Who cares? Satan's got more than you. He doesn't need YouTube. He downloads it right into your head. Remember, he's a spiritual being. The truth, nothing but the truth will set us free. So you know what the plan of the enemy is, but I know also what God's plan is. Well, I mentioned to you maybe in Isaiah chapter 9 would be a good chapter to stop this afternoon. You want to get a foretaste of it before you get there this afternoon? Let's go quickly to 9. I'll show you. After God told them, Isaiah, these words, they're going to be hearing, but they don't understand because they don't want more. And then in chapter 9, verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Who do you think was that great light? Yeah. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Why? For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And listen to this. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government of this world is upon Christ's shoulder. And who do you think are his representations? And now we fear the world government. Really. We say, oh, unto us a child is born, Christmas. Hallelujah, a few bells. And then we go, oh. I bet you 70% of all churches in America did not celebrate Christmas in the church buildings. Why? Believing the lie. For the life of me, I get up almost every day and said, Lord, how can anyone be so dumb to think church can be held virtual? don't get it. I just don't get it. But listen, verse 7. I love this. For the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Does that mean that something is going to come to an end? No, there is no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice. Oh man, do we wait for justice. And with righteousness, we wait for that too. From this time forth and forevermore, the seal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This will not be man's implementation. This will not be the church implementing this. This is God himself will implement this. And when he had enough of all the things man is doing against him, there will be the wrath of God come upon this earth one day. And there is no Satan and none of these all rulers here, including the Antichrist who is demon-possessed, can withstand when Jesus is setting his kingdom up on this earth. Restoring it. So those of you who believe, the Russians have all them, their incredible atomic weapons, hypersonic, they just sneak up on us. They may launch a few of them. This world will not be destroyed. But our rulers believe it. They tried to build somewhere on the moon, on Mars, a new colony. Listen, we're financing NASA, don't we? I would like to work for NASA to get on a round trip for free, okay? Listen, we got plenty of problems on this planet. We don't need to make a new colony. Eventually, we found the Martians. Green little creatures. In the Bible, we call them demons, There will be the great disclosure. I tell you what, the greatest disclosure is when Jesus sets his foot on the Mount of Olives. And this earth will see an earthquake like it has never seen before. Geographically, this world will be redone. And then he will rule. For those of you who don't believe it, that's just too bad. You can stay down here. I'm going. He will take us out of here. And then we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Not in heaven. Right here. And there will be people going, when this thing happened, what we call the Battle of Armageddon, when these things are all happening, there will be people surviving, and these people will go into the millennium, into the 1,000-year reign. And they will repopulate this earth. And they have to make a decision if they want to serve the king who sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And some of them get born again, and some of them are not. And those who are not, when Satan is being released for a short time after 1,000 years, they prove that they're not. They will rebel against God just like this. After he ruled with absolute peace and justice for 1,000 years. Think about it. And then the Lord will restore everything. And he will finally take that rebel called Lucifer out of the picture. That's when peace will reign. Amen. We have to still wait a little bit. The timing is in his hands. But let's finish up with Romans chapter 8. And I show you, the Apostle Paul understood all these things so well, because he was a scholar of the Old Testament. And in chapter 8, verses 18 to 28, listen to what he said to the people. During the time when he wrote Romans, it was not easy to live. People were wicked. The rulers were wicked. They thought people were nothing but idiots and they can rule them. Does that sound familiar? And then Paul writes these words, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Keep that in mind. The suffering, the bad times we may go through, is not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Do you know, the whole creation is waiting for the moment that those have been born again, the sons and daughters of the living God, are being revealed fully, combined with the heavenly host. He said, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. Listen, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The only people who will actually have sustainability on this earth are the children of God, not the rulers and wicked kings on this earth. The UN, when they read this, they must be getting red-faced. He says, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. The redemption of our bodies. Our spirit has already been redeemed. The redemption of our bodies, the glorified bodies, which we're going to get. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it. It's that ugly word. With patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Not according to man's will, according to the will of God. And listen to this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You see that there? Wow. Do you believe that God has a purpose for you? Do you think the only purpose he has is what you do down here on earth, or does he have a greater purpose? This is just like going to middle school. Just, you will graduate one day when you get the resurrected body. Then you go to high school. You say, well, I don't learn anything on the other hand. The other side, well, I know you're not all wisdom, all wise, all knowledgeable. You know that. But when I get there, I know everything. No, we know him as he is. And then we have eternity to learn what we never knew. And let me tell you, my friends, eternity is a long time. Now, my final question. So when Jesus comes back and does all these things, we got that clear. The world is not coming to an end, correct? Got that settled. Jesus comes back. My question for you personally is he coming for you? Or is he not coming for you? Where are you with the Lord Jesus? Have you given your life to him? Surrendered to him and said, Lord, I'm done running my own show. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. It doesn't take a preacher to make you a saint. It takes God to make you a saint. This is between you and God. So I'm challenging you this morning. If you have never made that commitment, take a few minutes, just you and the Lord, as the worship team comes up. Just take a few moments. Just you, quietly. And ask the Lord to reveal to you who he truly is. If you don't know him, may this be the day. You can just talk to him. He's listening. Well, Pastor, you have no idea. I'm a total scoundrel. I mean, I'm way out there. Yeah, that's why he came. He came to set the captives free. It's not something to play with. It's something to be taken serious. Just you and the Lord. Then you can say, Lord, I'm not so sure. I heard about you. I'm even reading the Bible. But committed to you, I don't understand. But I'm asking you to make it understandable to me. All I say, Lord, take me, use me for your glory. Because one day, I want to see you face to face as my Lord and Savior, as my friend. Lord, I thank you for coming to this world to live a holy life, to show the world what it looks like in your kingdom. But also you went to the cross. You didn't deserve the cross. I did. I know I'm a sinner, but you came to pay for my sins. You shed your own blood that cleanses me. Lord, thank you for that sacrifice. And then that it was actually finished, that it is done the way you promised it will be done. You rose from the dead, giving me that hope which I have not seen yet, that, yeah, they may lay me in the grave one day, but I will come out again one day. And I will get a glorified body and can spend eternity with you and in your kingdom forever. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And let me pray for all of you this morning. Heavenly Father, what an awesome Father you are. You have always had the plans that your children come back to you. Every generation has this chance. And thank you for giving us the gift of salvation, the gift of redemption by your grace. You have given us enough faith to trust you, to hold on to your very grace, to that gift. Thank you. Lord, may each one in this room, those who are watching on live stream, may you touch their hearts. May they have reassurance in you. Those who have served you for many years, but sometimes are wavering or walking away or going on a detour. Lord, may today you reassure them again. It's not because of what they are doing, but because of your love, having shown it to them. They are in your hands. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for watching over all of us, guiding us, directing us every day. Or maybe be the light you want us to be in this world, the salt that makes a difference. While the world may get darker, the darker it is, the more your light will shine. And Lord, we thank you. Our hope is in you and you alone, Lord. And we thank you for all your blessings you have bestowed upon us and will bestow upon us, all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, amen. Amen and amen. Let's stand together, shall we?